You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue on a Thursday. I'm joined, privileged to be joined by Chris Musselman's older brother, Mike. Mike, what's going on, Matt? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I quote you in this program now way too often, but I was just talking. Do you know Scott Husing? He's with 2-4 in 2006.
I have to see his name. Army Seeing Space. The name sounds vaguely familiar.
He's a Blue Diamond guy. Anyway, he made a comment. We were talking about leadership, and he said, there's only leadership. There's no, combat leadership. He said, leading is leading. And so it's kind of interesting. So I quote you, relative to discipline, a conversation we had a while ago, in which I asked you, how long does it take you when you're doing battlefield circulation with Dave Furness as regimental commander, or even when you were with the division and hanging out with General Nicholson, how long does it take you to tell if a unit's disciplined or not once you show up?
And you said, yeah, instant.
You said, instantly. Yeah, 2 or 3 minutes. I said, well, how do you tell? The way they wear their uniforms, the way they greet you, the way the place looks. And I remember saying, well, when you in Afghanistan, when you didn't see a unit that was disciplined, it was nasty. What did you feel? And I think your response surprised a lot of people, and you said, it made me sad. And I said, why? And you said, because I knew that they were going to pay. Guys that, yeah, that don't have to get killed and wounded are going to be killed and wounded because they're not disciplined, and you're going to pay. And, it's kind of interesting, comment about, leadership is leadership. You do it in garrison the same way you do it forward. Certainly the circumstances are different, but so it's just kind of interesting little discussion where your name comes
up. Yeah, sure.
Where your name comes up. So what's going on in Texas today? First of all, how's the weather?
It's warm.
Is it? Like how warm?
Yeah. It's in the 90s.
All right.
So, this is where you limit your time outside, so.
Is it humid warm?
No. I mean, there are probably some people who say it's humid warm, but not, like I said, humid is all relative, so.
All right, to your own life experience. I'm with you on that. What about, talk to me about, you were looking at the news again. Now, for a long time, you've sworn that I can't look at the news. I can't do that. I'm changing my life, Mac, but now you're looking at the news today. So when you look at the news these days, how do you look at the news? Do you look at all the news, some of the news, part of the news?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
I look at local news, what's going on locally. I try to stay away from, the crap that's going on, in the world. And, I could care less about, right now, President Trump and what he's been doing overseas. So, but that seems to be the big news right now, or his son talking to the Russians. Like, for crying out loud. These people just can't let go.
Well,
move forward, folks.
The other thing that you see is now supposedly the Democratic campaign had contact with people in the Ukraine who offered something similar. And so what you see in all of this is just the seedy nature of American politics.
Yep.
The seedy nature of America.
Time for change.
And I'll tell you, look, we can do dumb guy radio, right? So you're involved in a political campaign and somebody sends you an email and you're reading a mic and it says, the Kremlin, right? And you're like a basic dumb guy. You're a basic dumb guy, rich kid, right? So the Kremlin would like you guys to have this information. So you're like, what's the Kremlin? So you go out in and you look, ask the receptionist, like, hey, what's the Kremlin? That's like the White House and Congress in Moscow combined into one. Oh, that's like the, that's like the government? Like, yeah, that's, what do I do with this email? Hold on, let me email him back. This is awesome. Come on, man.
Is it? Well, this is like getting an email from the Nigerian prince saying that you've won, you know, $17 million, and you email him back and say, what bank account do you want me to send the information to?
It's just like stupid as stupid can be. It's like, maybe I should hand this to our compliance guy or the guy who's giving us these classes on all the different people are going to try to contact them. Don't, rule one, don't respond. Bring this to me. It's like, oh, hey, this is going to be awesome. When do we meet? Come on. Come
on. Oh, look, guys, I'm a millionaire. This Nigerian prince said so.
Yeah. Hey, that's as good as Podesta getting, you know, getting hacked because he responded to a phishing scam. Right?
Right.
Come on. Yeah, that ESPN. Come on, man. Like, what is that's crazy stuff. So, I mean, I find it, you know, revealing in that this is how American politics works. And I guess none of us are surprised by it, but it is what it is. So you stay away from that?
I try and stay away as much as possible from that. So.
Okay. So you read local news. Do you look at sports headlines?
No.
Nope. You're not looking to read about how your Cowboys are going to open camp or anything like that?
No. I'm behind them, but I'm not going to be like
on them.
You know, on them. Yeah.
All up on them. All up on them.
All. Yeah. No. Not me. I'm supporting them.
All right. You don't sound like you're all down with the Cowboys.
Well, football's not on yet, so right. I mean, we got a couple weeks left.
Right.
That'll change.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Hold on. Email. Hey, Matt, can we do gun talk today? Mike, do you want to do gun talk today?
Sure, we can talk about it.
All right. What about...
What does he want to talk about?
He didn't say. He just asked if we could do gun talk today. I'm sure they'll follow. First of all, give us... what's the latest... installment of gun training for women that you're doing?
Right now, mostly situation awareness stuff. So how to use the environment that you're in, you know, looking for threats, and then, you know, really it's defensive in nature. So it's, you know, get away from the threat, create time and distance from a potential threat, you know, identify things before they become issues, problems, don't step into them, you know, that type of thing right now.
All right. Are you still enjoying it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, so one of the gals brings her daughter, who's, you know, literally like 8. And, you know, she's in it. And so they were at the airport the other day at Dallas-Fort Worth. And she tells her mom, you know, as they're going to pick up their grandfather, she tells her mom as they walk out, she says, those two men were there watching people come in and out of the airport when we got here, and now they're still here watching people. And her mom was like, well, okay, really? Wow. Okay. And then, you know, so she was really aware of her surroundings. And then when they went to Whataburger, and, their grandpa said, you know, hey, where do you guys want to sit? And the young girl without that and I said, near an exit. And so her mom texted me and said, it's working. You know, at that age, if they're picking that stuff up and they're situationally aware of their surroundings and things going on around them, that's a great thing. So, yeah.
Mike, do you think...
It is rewarding.
No, that's something that's cool. I mean, makes your heart warm. Do you think it... Does the necessity of having a talk about personal security with your daughter, with your wife, with your sons, does that outweigh? Because a lot of people say, "Oh, I don't want to make them panic.
No, you don't want to set in paranoia.
Right. So, talk to me. How do you do it?
Well, you kind of make it a game where you're not. It's not paranoia. You're not looking over your shoulder everywhere. And so the way you go about it is it's preparing yourself to receive that information. See, paranoia sets in when you're in the moment. You're in there. And now you have to develop situation where, so now you're constantly looking, you're looking around. Well, what I kind of teach is you're building all of that as you're moving towards. So for instance, you know, one of the drills that we talked about was parking. When you go to park at a store or some place you're going into, like a mall or, you know, Lowe's or Walmart, Target, whatever it may be, too many times when we pull into the parking lot, what is our major concern? Looking for a spot, right?
Right.
We always want to look for the closest spot because humans are lazy. They take the path of least resistance, so we look for the closest spot, and we disregard all that stuff, and then we walk out of the car. And then what we're worried about then is, did we lock our car? Do we have the list? Do we have our, you know, money? Do we have a way to pay for it? And then you're looking to make sure you don't get hit in the parking lot, and then you, next thing you know, you're in the store. And now you're absorbing everything in your mind, and your mind is still thinking, okay, where do I got to go in the store? Where is these products? You know, that type of thing. So by the time if something happens, the situation develops, you're now reacting to it, okay? And that's not where you want to be. So what I teach is, okay, so change the way you start. So don't worry, don't enter in the nearest place into the parking lot. Come from the furthest point of entrance and drive towards the store. So now you're looking, your mind is concentrating on the store. Don't worry about parking spaces because parking spaces are going to be there. You know, there's always going to be a parking space. You may have to walk, but there's always going to be a space. And then always try and park your car facing the store. And one is, your mind is always set. You're looking at where you're going to enter. You know, so you're always, you're still bringing in a lot of information. You're seeing things. Concentrate on the exits and entrances because that's where a lot of what we talk about, opportunistic type criminals, your hunters, the people that are looking for, you know, the quickest meal, basically, they tend to gather because they like to watch. That's where everybody has to go in and out of. So it's a very narrow, channelized point. And then look at the entrance and exits for people that are acting abnormal, meaning they're hanging out, they're watching people, they're looking at the way they're, you know, so they're staring at them. You know, they're looking at things on them. They're looking at their purse, their shoes, you know, that kind of thing. And why I saw you say that, because women are always more in a threat to be a victim of that type of crime,
right,
of an opportunistic type person. And so what they do is they look at, you can look at a woman and just by her shoes and her purse and her jewelry, her hair, her makeup, and you can determine wealth. You know, because women will spare no expense on shoes. Women will spare no expense on purses. And women will definitely spare no expense on, you know, jewelry and the way they look.
Right.
So you can look at a woman and know that, man, that hairstyle that she's sporting, you know, that's a couple hundred dollars. You know, the purse that she's carrying on her arm, that's a $500 purse. You know, her shoes. So you can start gauging wealth. And so you want to stay away from that. You want to avoid that, especially if you're a woman. So don't look how you're dressing. Look how you're doing yourself. I'm not saying don't put makeup on or anything like that, but just the way you carry yourself, you're advertising.
Right. And so
as you enter the store, yeah.
And then
as you enter the store, you look around.
If you're watching. If you're advertising, and I mean, it's okay. I mean, you're not telling them not to dress well or anything like that, but it's just important that you be aware of your situation. Email says,
yeah.
Hey, Mac, did Mike say for them to park further away from the entrance or close to the entrance or simply be aware of their surroundings when they park? So,
I don't care if you park close or far, but always try and position your car so your hood, if it's diagonal parking, the front of your car is always pointing towards the store instead of back, like your rear end's pointing the store. So you're parking away from the store because when you get out of the car, your back is to where, you know, where everybody's at, where the potential threats could come from.
Okay. So,
so you want to park facing. So you're building your situational awareness. And then that provides, so when you leave the store And so you show the demonstration. If you're parked away from the store, your back end of the car is away from the store. You turn your back on the store and you're walking away. You have no other recourse to do that. You can't walk backwards, right? So, but what's bad about that is if the threat comes and it comes towards you and your car is away, as you open the door, that's the perfect opportunity for the ambush because you can't go anywhere. When you open the door, you're stuck in that V, you know, from the door in the car, and the guy's behind you, the person's behind you, he owns you. You're trapped. You can't do anything. But if you park towards the car and that same situation happens, you can actually create time and distance. You can, because there's no barrier, you can just close the door and move, you know, get away from him, go straight. Now there's no barrier between you and him. Or if he's too close behind, not too far behind you, you can just actually open the door and create a barrier between you and him. And then enter the car, and like I always tell people, enter the car and exit the car. So go through the car. If someone's attacking you, don't try and get in the car and start it, because then they can get you still. I mean, you're there. It's going to take a minute for you to do that. So enter the car and then go across the seat and exit the car and then get vocal loud, let people know, and then exit the car. Now you got a car in between you and him, and you can create time and distance. And so that leads to, again, the concealed carry gives you time to go through that threat analysis and determine that this threat's not backing down, and then you go through the escalation of force.
Wait, how did we...
But we do a lot of that. We look at eyes.
Oh, because the women that are in this program, are they all interested in concealed carry?
A lot of them are, yeah.
Okay, all right.
And some of them carry... not just weapons, but or handguns. They carry like a little keychain that's got, you know, a little Kubaton type thing that's got spiked on it, so they can, you know, use that if they have to, if they get in close. You know, so we talk about, you never want to be, as they say, in a knife fight in a phone booth. You don't want to be up close. You know, you want to create distance. Time and distance is life. So we talk about how to create time and distance. Like I said, when you walk into a restaurant or something like that, sit near an exit and formulate a plan in your head. So we're using, Mac, we talk a lot about, believe it or not, we talk a lot about the OODA loop, right? Because if you use it in a threat-type basis, you're observing, you're orienting your decision and your act. So you're going through that in your mind a lot.
Right.
Okay, so if anything happens, I'm going to take my family, we're going to go out through this exit, and then we're going to go around the building, and we're going to get to our car, if we can. You want to create distance. You know, move away. That type of thing. If there is no exit and I can't sit near an exit, then, okay, what's my next choice? You know, it's barricade, hide, you know, put my family, put something solid between the threat and my family, and then I will be that defense line. We look at gestures. So, you know, one of the things we talked about was eyes. Eyes are... really, they always say the gateway of the soul. You know, they're
right.
The most revealing thing of what someone's going to do.
Right.
So watch people the way they look at people. You know, so people that when a woman walks by, and they're looking at, you know, what they're carrying in their purse, that's not generally normal behavior. They're not you're looking at something a materialistic object, unless you're a purse fanatic, or, you know, maybe you have, oh yeah, that's a good purse for my wife. But it's not normal behavior to sit there and, you know, kind of size up that object. You know, especially if it's a, you know, like you said, and we talk about, if it's a woman that's attractive, most men don't look at what she's wearing. They look at her body. Right?
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't really do that. But,
yeah, bullshit. But,
I, but I guess,
men that will look at their wealth, you know, look at their what they're carrying and stuff like that. Again, it's abnormal behavior. Normal behavior, if you look at the woman. Abnormal behavior is look at other things on her. Abnormal behavior is when you're watching somebody walking across the parking lot and they're looking in cars. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that. I've seen it a few times where people are walking across they're coming across the parking lot and they're looking into cars as they go by. Again, abnormal behavior.
Right.
Eyes, You know, when you want to look at somebody, you turn your head. When you don't want to be caught, you just turn your eyes. Your head's still straight, but you're looking out of the corner of your eyes. That's abnormal behavior. Just think about it. When you were a kid and you got in trouble with your parents and you knew you were in trouble and you were in the room with them, you didn't look at them. You didn't turn your head and look at them because then you knew the gig was up, right?
Right.
What you always did was you looked out the corner of your eyes to see if they're looking at you. See, maybe I'm out of trouble. You're looking out of the corner of your eyes. You're darting.
Out of the kill zone.
Yeah, guys that wear sunglasses indoors, you know, there's no reason, there's no fashion statement, you know, that's abnormal behavior. You know, people that wear sunglasses indoors, women, it's a different story because they're fashion statements. Yeah. Men, it could be a fashion statement, but then they're not a threat because they're usually, you know, a little light in the loafers. But men that wear sunglasses indoors and walk around, you know, with sunglasses and stuff like that, it's like, you know, it's abnormal behavior. That guy is not acting the way he should be.
And so Mike, is that really, I mean, the essence is your vigilance, and it doesn't sound like there are huge behavior modifications in terms of the way you live your life. It's just maybe it's just being more attentive to certain things.
It's understanding the normal baseline behavior in your community, right? What's normal for where you live? For just example, interaction. Here in Granbury, if you say hello to somebody, the normal response is you're in a conversation. Abnormal behavior is nothing at all. You know, and it doesn't make them a threat.
Right.
But it puts it in a category of abnormal behavior because maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they lost someone they love. Maybe they got fired from their job and they just don't feel like it. You know, those are the possibilities. But again, that still is abnormal behavior. Normal behavior is, you know, response back. If you smile at somebody, they smile at you. You know, depends on, again, where you live. If you smile at somebody in San Clemente, California, you know, they may think that you're coming on to them. But you got to understand what normal behavior is. Hands in pockets all the time. You know, I do this a lot, and it's fun, too. And I see guys with hands in their pockets walking around doing this other stuff. I'll approach them and say stuff like, hey, do you got the time? You know, because I don't wear a watch, and my phone's usually in my pocket. You got the time? And then that gives me an opportunity to basically judge and understand, you know, because then they, oh, yeah, hey, you know, they pull up their phone, or they got a watch on their wrist. It's, 10 after 12. And I say, oh, okay, thanks. You know, but you can then engage in conversation. You open that doorway. Look at potential.
So wait a minute. So what you're really trying to do is identify friend or foe?
Yeah.
When you're doing that? By interrogating them?
Yep. Yeah. And then most of the time it leads to a conversation.
Right.
You know, oh, you know, I don't care. Stupid me, I forgot. Yeah, you know, phone has a clock on it. Oh, man, you know. I remember when, you know, phones, you know, and you get in a conversation and then you can kind of de-escalate. You understand then, you know, maybe he's not a threat. He's just, that's his behavior. It's still abnormal, but it's his behavior. So we talk a lot about, again, the environment.
Okay, hold on. So let me take you back. Is there a point that you as an instructor can sense that somebody's scared?
Absolutely.
And then,
I mean, I can.
Okay. And then what do you, I mean, somebody you're teaching and when you sense, because we're talking about, what is, sensitizing and what is alarming.
I wouldn't say the word scared, Mac.
What would you say?
Apprehensive.
Okay. Apprehensive. And then, so.
Lacks the confidence. Yeah.
Okay. So you're telling them these things, they're apprehensive. Because you're kind of taking them into a world that they probably never they don't know about, right? And they're
right.
Somewhat leery. Do they respond quickly as they learn more and relax more? Is that
they respond 100 times better than a male student because what you're giving them is also when you're doing this you're empowering them.
Right.
Because they become more empowered, they become more confident, becomes more self-aware of their situation around them, that empowers them to be, you know, be that vigilant person, be the hard target, as we always said, you know, in the Marine Corps.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know. I think I was talking about domestic violence once. I went to speak someplace, and I heard somebody say something that I've never forgotten. And this is years ago. They said, "You know what? Women get it. You don't have
to.
You don't have to let you don't have to tell us about it. We get it. We know. As a woman, it's just the world that you live in. You can easily be overpowered by a male." It's just the world that we live in. We get it. We understand what it is to, for somebody to prey on you, which was kind of interesting because it's just a different, it's just a different view of the world than men tend to have. Most men, and especially, I mean, guys that have served in the Marine Corps, not that they're all, you know, the baddest asses on the planet, but you know, it's a different life experience, and it really was like getting slapped inside the head for me about the way women do understand what it is to be threatened in a way that men don't get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, women pick it up quicker.
What so how long is your course? Does it go on
forever
to infinity and beyond, like Buzz Lightyear?
Yeah. Forever.
And you just keep doing different things and progressively deepening their knowledge. Wow. But let me just say, I think it's really cool because I'm sure your class has developed a little bit of a social bond as these women kind of come and they learn. And for those of you who've never seen Mike teach, he's a funny teacher, and he knows how to weave enough humor into it. In through the seriousness to make it thoroughly enjoyable. So I'm sure they enjoy. Do they love you as a teacher? Do they bring you food, like cookies and stuff like that?
No, I don't. I don't want food.
You don't want food? Why not? You love food.
No. Yeah, I'm fine though. I don't need food.
Oh, all right.
This is fun to do.
All right. We have to take a break. The Gunner, Waxing Eloquent. I've got a couple gun emails for you since we're supposed to be doing gun talk. Well, we are kind of doing gun talk. It was gun education and situational awareness talk. Before we go, let me just ask you this one because it deals with what you were just talking about. Mac, if the Gunner were to give one piece of advice, to women who can't attend his class, what would that piece of advice be?
Well, we just seek something out. I mean, go find something that would be similar to this. You know, but I don't like, you know, because some of them come up and go, well, you know, I want to take like martial arts. And I'm like, and if you want to go take martial arts, but do it for physical fitness type reasons or, you know, that type of thing. But don't do it because you want that type of combative type of experience. That takes years. I said, you know, one of the things that always just drive me crazy was Marine Corps used to teach, you know, this hand-to-hand type stuff, the line training stuff that was, if he does this, you do this. If he does this, you do that. And it never worked because, you know, the problem was it requires, you know, the actual assailant of the guy that you're fighting to do exactly what he need, you know, for you to, for him to do so you can react to it. When he doesn't do that, you just, your brain shuts down because it can't think. There's other things you can do. And like I said, I'm not a big fan. Even the gun training is an extreme last resort when all lesser means have been employed and have failed. You know, that's when you go to that. At no time do you ever, you know, think that you're an offensive guy and you pull your gun out and say, hey, come here. I want to have a word with you. You know, you acting kind of abnormal to me. So, yeah, you gotta be careful.
So you wouldn't say, you won't give one piece of advice relative to personal safety. You would say, go find a class like this is your piece of advice.
Yeah. There's no, like I said, just handgun training or arm hand-to-hand stuff is not good enough. You need to be, you know, more aware of the of your surroundings. So,
all right,
it's
That makes sense.
It's different.
Nope. It makes perfect sense. All right, man. Hold on. We're going to take a quick break on a Thursday. Mike Musselman. You know, you sound really smart, too, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's really different. I like it. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Top again. I've just got time
for one more round. Set them up, my friends. We continue. 9:42 on the West Coast. 11:42 in Texas. Mike Musselman joins us. Do you like Mike or Michael better?
Mike.
Mike.
Michael or Gunner. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you know, my mom used to like Michael more. Why do you say Mike? Why don't you say, I'm like, Mom, come on. People say, what's your name?
Yeah.
What do I say, Michael? Come on, that's what you call me. My sisters call me. Like, my
right.
friends call me Mac or Mike. I'm Mike McNamara. I like Michael. I mean, it's a cool name. No?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't, like, introduce myself like, hi, I'm Michael McNamara. Oh, really? I'm Elliot Farnsworth VII. Like, oh, yeah.
That's not even close, though.
It's headed down that road, though. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not Thurston Howell III, okay, Mom? I'm Mac
yeah.
or Mike, okay? And you can...
We don't have cool names like Buck.
Buck. Where did Buck come from? Isn't Buck like a fat guy name?
No.
It's not?
Buck is... I'm trying to think, like, what would the Buck... Buck. I don't know. That's not his real name, but I'm not going to share it with you.
Yeah, his real name is like Nigel or something like that, isn't it?
Alfred Nigel.
Exactly. Schreier. Bernard Alfred Nigel. Yeah, we're just going to call him Buck, Ulysses, something.
He's listening right now. He's probably just laughing.
He is, because he knows it's the truth. Don't tell him Quentin's my first name. Don't.
Quentin, Nigel, Schrader to the third.
Exactly. Shackleford, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shackleton.
Shackleford would be a funny one, too.
Shackleford.
Okay.
The ninth.
Yeah, just like I thought, man. He said, fuck y'all.
Wow. And you know what? Here I wish him happy birthday, and that's the kind of thanks you get. Gun question. Mac, considering muzzle loaders, wonder if the gunner has any thoughts on a direction for quality muzzle loader. It would be my first one. Don't really want to break the bank doing it because I'm not sure I'll like it that much. But muzzle loading season... makes the hunting season a little bit longer, so I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
Gunner, it's interesting. A lot of people get into the whether it be bow hunting and muzzleloader and the different varieties of because it does lengthen hunting season for a lot of guys.
Yeah, and you can find. I mean, there's muzzleloaders out there that are really, really inexpensive. I mean, a lot of your you can get. I think they're called CVAs. Yeah, CVAs, they're a muzzleloader brand. And you can get those for, you know, just about $200 for the rifle.
Wow.
Yeah. Most muzzleloaders are fairly inexpensive.
Is there a trick to enjoying muzzleloading shooting? Do you do much of it?
No, I've shot a muzzleloader like once. I didn't really like it.
You didn't like it? Why not?
No. It's, if you're going to do muzzleloading, then shit, go get an old Revolutionary Kentucky, like a long rifle or something, and do it
yeah.
the real way.
With Daniel Boone.
Yeah. Pour the powder on the pan and sharpen the flint and, you know, and do that. But, you know, a lot of the more modern muzzleloaders now kind of take away that whole idea of it, but I mean, it's still fun. You can, like I said, it's neat because, you know, you can still go out and buy like these, like a Kentucky long rifle kit and then build it, you know, and that's actually kind of fun. I mean, it's kind of neat. You know, you get the wood and you get the barrel and the action and everything. And you just, when I say you build it, you're not doing much, you know, you're sanding it down, you're staining it, and then you assemble it, but it's still fun, you know. But if you're going to do it, like I said, do it with those type of guns because when you're not using them, they're good wall hangers. They look good hanging on the wall.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. How much of those? I mean, come on, those old ones got to. Well, they're collectibles.
Well, the kits you can get
kits.
For about $300.
That's cool.
They're still cheap. Yeah.
So have you ever gone muzzle loading hunting?
No.
I take it. Okay. All right. How about bow hunting? Are you much of a bow hunter?
No. I did that when I was in Virginia.
Right.
And then again, I got away from it. The problem with bow hunting, most of the people that I had bow hunted with, they were all tree stand guys. And I hate sitting in a tree stand.
Yeah. I think
boring.
Yeah. I think the fun of muzzle loading, bow hunting, and I think I would enjoy it because I don't particularly want to kill anything, you know, but I do like to shoot and I do like to track and stalk. And, one of the things, that you learn, you know, just as a grunt, especially when you're, teaching at the basic school where you're out in the field, like, I don't know, 3 to 4 days a week, teaching something, patrolling, you know, squad in the offense, squad. You're out in the woods all the time, and you learn, you know, you meet guys, which is a really cool part of the Marine Corps. You meet these country boys who will teach you about. All of a sudden, you'll see them stop. Like what? Like listen. And it's like, well, the wind's blowing this way. You can hear a deer over there. And he can't hear us because of the way the wind is. And so they would walk into the wind. They'd begin to, and you just like, I didn't know anything about it. I got raised in Sacramento, California. My dad wasn't a hunter. I didn't know anything. It's really interesting because they teach you, things that, you know, have been passed down to them. In this case, their father, their grandfather, you know, taught them how to track and, very, 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 very cool stuff. To me, that's what I would enjoy. In fact, I would even shoot something with a, you know, something with a rubber tip. I don't even care if it goes in. I just want him to know that's right. That's my calling card, bro. You could have been mine. Except I'm a benevolent guy. I don't really, I've got some jerky. I'll eat that. I don't need to eat you, but I could if I want to. That's what I want the animal to know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure they don't know that. No matter what you did, they're still not going to get that through to them.
Why do you think that? You think animals are stupid?
They don't look at us and go, man, that guy's going to eat me. You know, so they just, you're just a threat to them. They're a threat to their existence. So that's about it. That's all you're going to
achieve. So you don't think that if I threaten him and shoot him with a rubber tip arrow, that he doesn't get the point? No pun intended.
No pun intended. Yeah. No, he doesn't get shit, Mac. He just knows that he's still alive.
That kind of ruins it for me, just so you know. But I would know. Well, I would know. I would know, and you would know, because we would be doing it together. And I'd say,
no. I'd look at you and go, "What a dumbass! Why'd you just shoot a deer with a frick? Why'd you spend all that time doing that, and then to go out and try and prove a point to an animal that doesn't fucking reason doesn't reason like you and I?
I know.
Doesn't go.
But I would bring it.
Doesn't go back to its fellow deer and go
to the
damn. Guess what, guys?
I got to ask.
This guy out there, man, he really showed me a point today. No pun intended, haha. But, you know, he could have killed me, but he chose not to. What a good human. No.
You're not going
to
say that? All right.
Nope.
But you'll know, like, wow, that Mac's a good tracker.
No.
And he's a good shot.
I would sit there and under my breath when you came to me and go, man, I really proved a point there.
No, you'd be with me. You'd see it. You'd see, like, the tracking skill and the shooting skill. And you're like, yeah, Mac, that was pretty good.
I wouldn't go with you
when
I found out you were going to shoot a rubber, like a suction cup barrel at a deer.
It wouldn't be suction cup. It'd just be blunt rubber. Because suction cup, the aerodynamics of suction cup shooting are not good.
Let me tell you something. Blunt rubber through a compound bow is going to go through a deer.
How far in am I going to go? Not very far.
You're going to kill it.
No, bullshit.
You're going to maim it. Oh, shit. Yeah, Mac.
So I've got to go suction cup? Come on. I'll look like a goof. Rolling around with
you're
my...
You'd have to go with like a... You'd rather just go with a Nerf. A Nerf arrow.
Rolling around with my crossbow and a suction cup tip. What happens if we bump into some other hunters out there? They're going to look at me and go...
They're going to be the same thing. They're going to look at you and go, wow, what a great guy. Well, he's out there trying to prove a point to an animal. No, they're going to be the same way. They're going to go, what a dumbass.
Yeah, who are
who's
you?
Who's this guy?
This guy. Hey.
Who's this clown?
This guy's a threat to me. He's out of place.
He's abnormal. He's Abby normal.
Exactly. He's not right. He doesn't belong here. How did you know?
Right.
The suction cup arrow in the bow was a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
He's not right. He doesn't.
You go right into the category of being a dumbass.
Exactly. So now my my alert's up, and I'm ready to execute my close-in danger procedures. All right. Fine. Hey, fine. Have it your way. Okay. Email relative to guns. Mac, I was driving the other day listening as Gunner kind of talked very quickly about what he did to his pistol grip, putting his Punisher, and then in parentheses, I think that's what he called it, emblem on his pistol grip. Could he go over how he did that? Is it a kit that I can buy? Thanks.
No. Not a kit you can buy.
Oh, I didn't know you weren't going to go over it.
You have to have skill in order to do it. Because you have to do it.
Oh, you have to do it? You can't buy a kit? What are you talking about?
No, there's no kit.
There's not?
What kit are you talking about? No. It's not like it's a die press. You just put your handle in there and press it down. No, it's a tedious process, man. You got to have some patience.
All right. Well, explain the process. Where did you get the stencil?
Well, no, it's not a stencil. That's just it. So what I've done is, okay. So I went out and I bought a soldering iron that has a removal tip. You know, the screw and thread.
Right.
And then I went out and got different sizes of tips on the soldering iron, and then some of them I had to actually manufacture. So I did. Etch them out and carve them up. So I polish it off. So like one that came that was flat. So it was like a round. So I etched in like a snake scale in the metal, a reverse, scale. And then when you heat it up, you press it in that polymer, it makes that imprint. On one, I have like the one that I showed you, the one that I had you looked at was a, it was basically like a small point, you know, soldering point that I've dulled out a little bit on it. So when you press in, you leave these little imprints. And if you draw the pattern out on mine, you draw the pattern out and then you leave the imprint of the Punisher in smooth and everything else is that rough course.
So you drew the pattern by hand?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was some stencil or something you bought. The Punisher.
No, there's no stencil.
So this is like your own Muscleman, the Punisher, like emblem.
No, this is. I took it off the internet, and I just put a picture next to it, and I drew it with a little chalk pencil, the outline of it, and then what we call stenciled outside of it. So. I'm going to do another one.
You're downright artsy crafty, man. You should take pictures of the process so we can learn about it. All right, and then
I'll do it next time. I'm going to do another one for a friend of mine. Her daughter wants one.
Oh, really? You should do one for Buck. Quentin, Aloysius, Elmer, Fudd, Buck. Yeah, and then have a picture of like a. Like, I don't know, what would be a good symbol for Buck? Like a shoe lass?
A boot?
Nah, that's too easy. The hammer. The hammer. Yeah.
Yeah, the hammer.
The hammer. The hammer. Buck. Leonard. All right.
He's cursing under his breath right now.
And we don't care. Oh, like, oh, really? Oh.
Well, I know. I mean. We don't really care. Because he doesn't care. He's a good guy. He can dish it out.
Yeah.
Take it.
Well, that's the good thing about radio.
We're not hurting his feelings.
We can take it. I mean, come on, Mike. It's not like you've never been teased before, right?
No, I don't like being teased. I play it off pretty good, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
I go home and I usually go and cry when I get home.
Go pout. Ooh. All right, what's on the agenda for the rest of the day? Are the Red Sox Yankees playing tonight, or is that tomorrow?
Is it tomorrow? I think it is tomorrow.
They play four games, but I don't think baseball plays. Yeah, Friday.
I don't think they play tonight.
Friday at 4.
Friday
at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's right. If the Yankees are going to get back into the pennant race, they're in the pennant race, but if they're going to stay in it, They've got to at least.
They got to beat them.
They can't get swept. They can't. No, they can't get swept. Because they're 3.5, you could go to 4.5. But if they get swept, they're at 7.5 games. That's right.
This close. Yeah, that's hard to make up.
That's hard to make up, especially with the Red Sox have good pitching. So yeah. So they got to. They simply cannot get swept. If you don't get swept, then what? You win 4, they win 3. You lose 2 games. You're 5.5. That's okay. But
yeah, they're still running.
You're on wobbly legs. But anyway. All right. Did you watch the All-Star game?
No.
Okay. Didn't watch the All-Star game. And then what's on tap for the rest of today? Thursday, kind of hot, staying inside. What do you got going for the rest of the day?
Just tidying up a little bit, cleaning, doing stuff.
All right. So Mike putzing around the house. We like it.
All yeah. Right.
Anything else you want to get off your chest before I let you go?
No. I'm in a happy place. I'm in a good place.
Ooh.
Nothing to get off my chest.
Ooh, he's a happy man. All right, well yeah. That doesn't you know it's such a different human being than I'm used to being around because I don't want to say you were not happy a lot of times, but you just had something that was irritating you. You were still normally
happy.
Yeah,
that was called the Marine Corps. like I said, I enjoyed every day of it, but it was just dealing with so much of the stupid tribal bullshit. It was like, where you got to teach grown men to actually, like we talked about, be leaders, or go out and assess somebody. And your first mindset is, okay, we need to fire this guy. Don't give him a chance. He's done.
He's had enough chances. I will tell you this: units that go places, they fire people.
They fire people.
Firing people, for all you business owners out there, firing people is good. It sends the right message to everybody else. Hey, they saw this guy was an idiot, and they fired him. That's good. That speaks well about them. Yeah.
Do it publicly, too, so everybody knows where they stand.
Yeah. Don't take them behind closed doors. Like, we're going to let you retire in 6 years.
The French, when they used to use the guillotine in the square, that sent a message, man.
You know, I was always interested in once the guillotine falls
guillotine.
Whatever.
Sorry, not guillotine. Yeah. Guillotine.
We're Americans. We're not afraid to be Americans.
Well, no, Buck would probably complain to us because he's.
Why is he French?
Aloysius.
Oh, he's a smart guy. Well, we don't care though. Here's the question.
Blood.
One of those guys. Once the guillotine hits and your head goes in the basket. You still have, thoughts for a couple seconds, yes?
How do they know? Do they interview somebody? It's all theory, Mac. I mean, come on. I mean, I hear that, too. You live for... How do you know? Did someone run up to a guy in a basket and ask some questions?
No, nobody. Everybody stays a few steps away from the... The only guy there is the guy with the hood on.
Yeah, and he's not asking any questions.
No, he's just trying to stay out of the frag pattern, right?
Yeah, he doesn't want to end up there.
No, he's like, all right, looks like this one's in the bag or in the basket. But science would tell you that they're alive for a couple seconds.
Science. Yes? Yeah, science. Because science gets everything right.
Science, schmience. Okay.
Yep.
All right,
I think the only thing science got right was gravity. So I think that was it. After that everything else has just been witchcraft.
The tyranny. All right. Now that science is irrelevant, I'll let you go.
I'm going to remember that. That's a good line. But science says, right.
Oh no! Somebody wrote me an email the other day quoting you.
Oh, yeah? I have quotes now?
Yeah. They said they were in the gym, and let me see if I can find it. Oh, here's a quote. Animals fascinate stupid people.
Yeah, true.
I was laughing out loud in the gym when I heard that. We're talking about our favorite, I think our favorite television channels. I think yours was is it National Geographic is one you like?
That's like Discovery, yeah.
Yeah, what is and when's Shark Week? Shark Week coming up, yes?
July 23rd.
There you go.
Yep.
Mike, there you have it. Mike, all about Shark Week. Do you have a favorite shark? Dead one.
Probably the whale shark.
The whale shark?
Yeah.
Why?
He's big. He doesn't worry about, because he has no natural predators, you know?
Nobody eats him?
And then no one eats the whale shark. And so the great white, everybody knew that, well, at one time everybody thought, the great white, top of a food chain.
No.
No. The orca ate a great white.
That's it. I'll tell you what, if you haven't seen that show, watch it. I don't know if it's on, is it on National Geographic or the Smithsonian Channel? It's one of those great channels. It's an awesome, they go through this whole attack and then they start,
yeah.
It's really cool to see that this orca annihilated this great white and then all the great whites, because they're cowards, they went to Hawaii. Off the coast of California.
Yeah.
There was no great white shark activity for like months. And so the next time it happened, they had tagged a few great whites. I don't know how they did it, but they did very carefully. And then when this happened a second time, they tracked them. And they left and they went to Hawaii.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was cool.
I love that.
It's a great show if you've never seen it. So anyway. Yeah.
All right.
Animals fascinate stupid people. All right, there you have it. See, that's the kind of wisdom you get from Almering Radio. You get those
life-changing
statements that you hear that are universally true, that you could throw out at a cocktail party and impress all your friends.
Yeah, so when next time some girl or somebody's talking about, and then you just pop that out and say, in my experience, animals only impress stupid people.
Yeah, that's another. I'll give you another one of mine. Fishing is for stupid people. Anytime you throw out the words, the kind of phrase "stupid people," it will always get people's attention. And I used to throw that out in North Dakota and Minnesota, and I'd absolutely start a riot. Mac, you need to come out on the river and catch catfish with us. I don't fish. What? I don't fish. I don't like it. I hate it. Why do you hate fishing? Fishing's for stupid people. And let me tell you,
a great response.
In Minnesota, they give them a fishing rod in their incubator when they come out of their mother. They're laying there, they've got a pacifier in them, a blanket, and they've got a fishing rod. Minnesota's land on 10,000 lakes. Those morons love to fish and vote liberal politics, okay? That's right. It's all one big ball of shit that they put together. So, anyway.
And with that, we'll say, Buck just said, you guys are all, you're a wealth of knowledge. And we are, Mac.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know.
Definitely.
Why do you think we're friends? Right? Because we know.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, and we know the truth. And just because some moron like Buck makes fun of us, doesn't change anything. Mike and I still know. We know.
We know the truth.
We know the truth. We don't back down from anybody. All right. Later. The one and only Michael Musselman here as we head to the door on not a second too soon. Oh, man, I make myself laugh some days. Hold on. Oh, here's one. Mac, did you just say fishing's for stupid people? I did say that. Well, here's why I said it. Here's the intellectual basis for that, right? A sport is like you compete against somebody, right? So I'm going to compete against a fish, right? That's fun. Like, who thinks that's a competition? Like, I mean, come on. That's like, is that interesting? So I'm going to go out in a boat, and then I'm going to drop this fishing line, and I'm going to wait for a fish to bite it. Now, maybe fly fishing where you can you're out in the stream and you're doing the fly fishing thing. That at least it's active, but sitting in a boat, right? Come on, it's so lame. Yeah. I guess if you're going to sell me, well, you're just hanging out with your dad. And okay, like, okay, I got that. But, like, fishing? Come on, man. It's, like, lame. Stupid people do. So, yeah, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. So, on a Thursday, my thanks to Scotty Too Hottie, Scott Houston, for coming on. You'll hear that interview in a matter of moments, okay? So don't touch that dial if you missed it the first time. Scott is a veteran of, he's an enlisted Marine in the Gulf War. You know, he kind of didn't want to say it, but he, air defense. And that's not his fault. He's probably a smart, he's probably tested high, so they make him a grunt. Operated a machine gun. Yeah. So you'll hear him. But Scott is a former company commander of Echo Company, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, the Magnificent Bastards in Ramadi. Written a book called Echo in Ramadi. It's coming out here. And interesting things to say about leadership. Interesting things to say about transitioning. Interesting things to say about what it was to fight in Ramadi. And Ramadi was a horrible place. I should ask Gunner. Hold on. No, I can't. I was going to call him up. I'll ask him tomorrow. Yeah, Ramadi was. Fallujah, you know. Ah, Fallujah. Ramadi. Thunderdome, man. For years and years and years. The way Fallujah never was. So his book talks about that. And then we talked about writing as well. Has interesting things to say about writing, being a leader. So, good stuff. Scott Houston. Check him out. You can also, if you want to check out his book, echoinramadi.com. You could also enter the same thing on Facebook. You'll find a page on Facebook as well. So, my thanks to Scott Houston for coming on today. And then the Gunner, as always. Mike, pretty informative today. Yeah. Talked about about his class that he teaches on protection for women, and then talked about why Buck has six names and got the nickname Buck. Those kind of nicknames, Ace, Buck, they always. What's your real name? Melvin. Got it. Now I know where Buck comes from. Anyway, have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow. We're gonna do a little cooking segment. Haven't done that in a couple weeks, so we'll get the Almond Radio. Head chef will be on. Gunner will come back, and we'll talk about Ramadi. Get his thoughts on Ramadi. He was with, he's been in Ramadi. He tells a funny story about it, too. Anyway, Mike was like, he was a problem solver. Yeah. He was one of those guys who solved, when there was a problem, send the Gunner. He'll unscrew it. Because he's this hybrid. He's half officer, half enlisted guy. So he could act like a translator, and he's really good at what he did, and he was thorough, and he was good. So Mike got sent on all these shit jobs to unscrew stuff. That's why he has all the adventures that he has, and he's not smart enough to keep himself out of, like, getting in trouble. Yeah, hence his C-130 story in Afghanistan, hence his story of being in boats on a river getting shot at with the SEALs. Yeah, he can't stay out of trouble, but... He's a good dude, though. The Gunner, Mike Musselman. Anyway, have a great afternoon on a Thursday. All Marine Radio. Oot. That's out for all you Canadians. Oot.